Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Captain Paul Watson, the focus of the new Animal Planet series, Whale Wars, and a legendary figure in the world of animal welfare. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is The Bad Plus, with a double animal piece called Frog and Toad here on Talking Animals. This is The Bad Plus with a piece called Frog and Toad. An animal tune, of course, double animal tune, really, again, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. There's also archives, iTunes, podcasts, and more. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Captain Paul Watson, a co-founder of Greenpeace, who went on to found the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society in 1977, and is currently at the center of Whale Wars, a new series on Animal Planet, showcasing Watson's efforts to thwart Japanese whaling ships in the Antarctic seas. Find out more about Whale Wars, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and about Watson himself when we speak with Captain Paul Watson in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at WMNF.org. Want to first try to squeeze in quickly an animal news item or announcement, maybe two, but certainly one. Southeastern Guide Dogs invites puppy and dog lovers to a holiday open house Saturday, December 6th, between 9 a.m. and noon, at the school's beautiful 23-acre campus in Palmetto, Florida. The event is free and open to the public and will include a visit from Santa between 9:30 and 11:30. Guests will also have the opportunity to tour the puppy and training kennels, hug puppies, take blindfolded walks with guide dogs in training, and learn about the free services provided by the school to people with visual impairments. For more information, call 941-729-5665. And just want to quickly, we're going to get into this more later this afternoon, but Suds on Sunday. This Sunday, Dunedin Brewery hosts a dog watch for the Dunedin Doggy Rescue. Music will be by Sunset Bridge. Dunedin Brewery's 937 Douglas Avenue, Dunedin. And go to DunedinDogs.com for more information. And again, we'll get into this more specifically this afternoon on the Sonic Detour. Okay, so it's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. Thought this might be fitting before we talk whales with Captain Watson. This is Brian Regan with a piece called Whale Noises on today's Comedy Corner.
I saw this documentary recently on whales. This guy has dedicated his life to telling you what the whales are saying. Wow. I don't know how you'd argue with him when he turns in his report. And he just throws it down there. Well, here's what the whales are saying. Okay, thanks, Charlie. He's looking back. Here's what the whales are saying. Yeah, Charlie figured it out. They show how he does it. He's out on a ship. He's got a pencil. And he deciphers the whale noises as he hears them. You know, he'll hear like... You know, he's like, oh, okay. Oh, he's lonely. No, you're lonely. I'd like to do that for like 2 weeks and then turn around and find out that the door's squeaking behind you.
All right, that was Brian Regan with a piece called Whale Noises, taken from his album, simply entitled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our shows are archived, but are also available on iTunes podcasts. And check all that out at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Captain Paul Watson, so let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I mentioned a moment ago, he's a co-founder of Greenpeace, who left that organization and went on to found the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society in 1977. A tough, brainy provocateur's lifelong activism as a defender of all creatures of the sea has been recognized globally. For instance, Time magazine in 2000 named him one of the environmental heroes of the 20th century. He and the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society are at the center of Whale Wars, a series currently airing on Animal Planet that focuses on their efforts to thwart Japanese whaling ships in Antarctic waters. In mere hours, he'll embark on another such voyage. So, in just a moment, we'll ask you to call in, 813-239-9663, or email us at dj@wmnf.org. And calling Captain Watson in Australia on a cell phone. So, we had him, and it looks like we don't have him now. So, I'm just going to ask you to be patient and listen to a bit more of this instrumental tune. And we'll try again with Captain Watson momentarily here on Talking Animals. Okay, with any luck, I believe we do have Captain Watson. Are you there, Captain Watson?
Yes.
Great, great, great. Thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals from nearly the other side of the globe at the ungodly hour of 2:30 in the morning or thereabouts, no less, so I appreciate that. In a moment, I certainly want to discuss Whale Wars, but for those listeners who might not only know the show, but may not even be all that familiar with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, maybe you could just sort of briefly take a moment and outline what the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society is and what it does.
Well, I set up the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society way back in 1977, not as a protest organization, but as an organization to uphold international conservation law protecting marine wildlife, and that's what we do. We intervene against the illegal activities like illegal whaling, illegal fishing, that sort of thing.
And since you're about to embark in mere hours on yet another mission to interfere, as you say, with Japanese whalers, maybe I can ask you to address Sea Shepherd's decades-long battle against whaling within the context of telling us where exactly whaling still is done and by whom.
Whaling is illegal. There's a moratorium on commercial whaling that was put into place in 1986, and the countries that are violating that moratorium are Japan, Norway, and Iceland.
And so specifically, though, the Sea Shepherd's at least current mission or voyage is specifically addressed with the towards the Japanese efforts. Can you sort of navigate us through the sort of churned up waters of the legality of the Japanese whaling efforts, including the legal provision for killing some number of whales under the guise of quote unquote research relative to the legality of Sea Shepherd's actions to interfere with that whaling?
Well, Japan's targeting endangered species in an established whale sanctuary in violation of a global moratorium on whaling and in contempt of an Australian federal court ruling prohibiting the taking of whales in the Australian Antarctic Territory. So, there's a blatant violation. There's also a violation of the Antarctic Treaty for refueling their vessels in the treaty zone. And Sea Shepherd acts in accordance with the United Nations World Charter for Nature, which allows for non-government organizations and individuals to intervene to uphold international conservation law.
And so I guess I'm curious what you think of the view held by some, at least, that you and Sea Shepherd, in your efforts to disrupt the whaling, are yourselves in violation of one or more laws.
Well, people can have any opinion they want. If we were breaking the law, we'd be arrested. And in 31 years, we haven't been convicted of a crime. We never injured anybody, and we've never been sued.
So those contentions, I guess, from your standpoint, are sort of beside the point that you interfere, disturb, delay, halt the whaling, sort of both by any means necessary, but within whatever legal framework of the laws, international and otherwise.
Yeah, we believe we operate in accordance with international law, and the very fact that we're doing what we're doing, and we're not being arrested for doing what we're doing is a good sign that we're doing the right thing.
Sure. Well, we've already got some callers, which I want to incorporate into the conversation, but this might be the point of our conversation to sort of ask your current view of Greenpeace, given its current action or current inaction, as case may be.
Well, I'm a little disappointed with Greenpeace. They've been raising money to go down to the Southern Oceans to protect whales all year. I think they raised between $20 and $30 million, and a lot of that in Australia. And just a few weeks before the Japanese fleet left Japan, they announced they weren't going to go. And so they've been raising money to do something, which they're now saying they're not going to do. They said, well, we're going to concentrate on trying to change public opinion in Japan. Well, I don't know really what that means, because that could take decades, and nobody's making much headway there. So I think they're just copying out.
And so, and on top of that, it sounds like you feel like they've sort of just taken the money and run effectively.
Yeah, I sometimes refer to Greenpeace as the other whaling industry. You know, as long as whaling's going down there, they keep collecting money off on it, but they haven't done anything really to stop it.
Yeah. Let me just let listeners know we're going to take a caller in one sec, but this is Talking Animals. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Captain Paul Watson, founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and currently seen on Animal Planet series Whale Wars. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Captain Watson a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Captain Paul Watson.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Paul, I am so curious and worried about this year's campaign, mostly because you're alone. There won't be anybody else with you. And, you know, I know you have tricks up your sleeve, but I'm worried about your safety. I mean, also, I'm inquiring about the seals. You know me. I am the education person for HarborSeals.org.
Okay, so let's try to take those briefly in order, if you don't mind, Captain Watson.
Well, we're not concerned about going down there alone. We've always gone down there alone. I mean, Greenpeace or the government of Australia or anybody else have never been very helpful to what we've been doing down there. So that doesn't really concern us. You know, we're independent in that way. And we've taken a lot of precautions, you know, for protecting ourselves from safety-wise. So I'm confident that we'll be able to do the job that we did in the last few years again, where we were able to cut their quota in half and save whales and cost the Japanese whaling industry a great deal of money. Yeah, we're also continuing to oppose the slaughter of harp seals in Canada. I'm hopeful that moves in Europe to ban seal products will make an impact this year. We're fighting the Canadian government in court over the arrest of our people and also the seizure of our ship, the Farley Mowat. So it's an ongoing battle there, but, you know, we've been fighting the seal hunt for years. We're able to shut it down for 10 years and start it up again, but, you know, the Canadian government is extremely stubborn on this issue, and But it's something, you know, we never retreat from these campaigns. We just keep fighting them.
Indeed. In fact, I think in the past, our conversations on Talking Animals have tended to focus on the Canadian seal hunt. And there's I want to take this opportunity, among others, to mention the Sea Shepherd's great website, seashepherd.org. There's a lot of information about the current campaigns and the situation Captain Watson alluded to, where the government has actually impounded one of their boats and is asking some like six-figure sum, right, for the release of the vessel. Is that, do I remember correctly?
What's that, sorry?
Aren't they asking the Canadian government for some huge six-figure sum for the release of the Farley?
Well, yeah, they seized the vessel in international waters, and then they held it and wanted a $50,000 bond, and then they dropped the bond, and now they're suing us for the cost that they've run up in holding the vessel, like about $500,000.
Yeah, that's a figure I saw.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, we're just sort of like playing. We're actually playing games with them on this whole thing because the Farley's actually still involved with that campaign because it just continues to embarrass the Canadian government every single day up there. They're wasting incredible amounts of taxpayers' money, and they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah,
so we're quite happy with the Farley doing the job it's doing right now, which is sitting in Sydney being an embarrassment to the government of Canada.
Right, so you're just going to sort of wait it out till they make some sort of move, it sounds like. So I guess sort of back more on the whaling side of things. I mean, on a related note, I mean, I've loved rock and roll, Captain Watson, nearly as long as I've loved animals, and I used to worship at the altar of the Midnight Oil. So I'm really keenly interested in hearing about what's going on between you and former Midnight Oil frontman, now Australian Environmental Minister Peter Garrett. What happened and sort of what changed in that status or that relationship between you and Peter Garrett?
Well, Peter Garrett, certainly accomplished a lot more as a lead singer in Midnight Oil than he's doing now as the Environment Minister of Australia, where he's now pro-logging, pro-kangaroo killing, pro-whale, not pro-whaling, but he's certainly not doing anything to stop the Japanese. In September 2007, Peter Garrett, as the opposition shadow minister for the environment, admonished the Howard government, saying, and in fact, his words were, it's all talk and no action, all pretty pictures of whales, the government's not doing anything, that his government would take legal action, would send boats down there, would be aggressive in their defense of the whales. Well, a year later, he may as well be talking to himself because he's reneged on all of his campaign promises. They're doing absolutely nothing. And in fact, they've made the situation much worse. And he's also Sea Shepherd's getting more problems from the government since the new government's been elected than we had under the old government, which wasn't a problem at all. In fact, the former environment minister under the Howard government, Ian Campbell, is now one of our spokespeople for Sea Shepherd and a member of our board of advisors. So, and 3 years ago, Mr. Campbell was saying that we were crazy, and now he's one of our spokespersons. So he saw how effective we were down there in the Southern Oceans, and he's actually said it's the only thing that's actually stopping the Japanese.
Wow. Well, I suppose there's hope for Peter Garrett to then come around yet again in the light of the path that Ian Campbell traveled. We do have some callers holding. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Captain Paul Watson on Talking Animals.
Is it me? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you call? I'm sorry. Yeah. Hi, you're on the WMNF with Captain Paul Watson. Okay, so let's take actually one of our email questions, if we could, Captain Watson. An emailer writes, how did Japan, Iceland, and Norway get away with this? Why won't their people protest their governments? Thanks, and thank you for your great work.
Well, the people in Japan are, for the most part, unaware of what's going on, and for the most part are apathetic, but they're no different than people everywhere else. It's frustrating because governments do what governments do, which is mainly represent corporate interests other than the interests of the people who elected them. So, it's the same reason the majority of Canadians are against the seal hunt in Canada, yet it continues to go on. So I've never really had much faith in getting things done through government. Governments usually cause problems, not solve them.
All right, and again, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Captain Paul Watson, founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and currently seen on the Animal Planet series Whale Wars, new episodes of which air Friday nights at 9 p.m. To join the conversation, feel free to call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Got a full bank of phone lines. Let me just ask, though. Let's talk a little bit about Whale Wars. The show seems to have hit the ground running, Captain Watson, capturing the imagination of viewers, media types, and Animal Planet executives. Haven't they already now contracted with you for a second season?
Yes, we've signed for a second season, and they're on board right now, and they're leaving with me today to go back to the Southern Oceans. The show is actually, like I think, the top cable program in the country now, so the they're pretty happy with it.
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, it hasn't actually been airing that long. I think it premiered in the U.S. on November 7th. But have you sensed that it spurred already any discernible increase in the awareness of the whaling issue that you can measure or really feel is tangible?
Well, yes, absolutely. And in fact, the Japanese are furious with the show. They've been putting a lot of pressure on Animal Planet, and Animal Planet hasn't backed down. They were demanding the show be taken off the air, and they're accusing Animal Planet of staging the whole thing. And so there's a big fight there. They're not happy about it. And if they're not happy about it, it means that it's having an impact.
That it's being effective, yeah. And where else, Captain Watson, does Whale Wars air? Is it only in the U.S. at the moment, or is it air beyond that as well?
It's airing in the United States and Canada, but it will be shown on Discovery throughout the rest of the world in the spring.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's take some of these callers who seem quite eager to speak with you. Hi, you're on WNF on Talking Animals with Captain Paul Watson. Quick question, please.
Hi, this is Kay Carter.
Okay.
Paul, it's so good to hear your voice. I'm extremely worried about your campaign this year because you're going to be alone.
Okay, ma'am, I think we heard from you before, and I'm so sorry. We got so many people calling. I really should give someone else a chance. I think he sort of addressed that. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Captain Paul Watson.
Hello.
Hello, it's you.
Hi, I was wondering, what is the criteria? How can one, if it is possible at all, to become a part of the crew to help with the Whale Wars?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had a similar question in mind, Captain Watson. So what is the criteria? What are you looking for in the volunteers who aspire to join you on these voyages?
Most importantly, we're looking for people who are passionate about getting involved, and people can get a crew application off of our website at seashepherd.org. And, you know, it used to be difficult finding crew. Now it's so difficult trying to... Well, the most difficult part is saying no to so many people, because we try to give the opportunity to as many people as possible to join and participate, but we're getting overwhelmed, really. But I like to think that anybody who's really passionate about joining will be able to do so. Right now we have 48 people on this crew, and we've had over 4,000 volunteers over the lifetime of our campaign. So if people really want to participate, we're going to give them an opportunity somehow to participate.
That's great. And on a somewhat peripherally related note, I noticed that Daryl Hannah is going to be aboard this trip, at least for a part of the voyage.
Yeah, Daryl Hannah's on board as a crew member on the ship right at the moment.
Yeah. And, all right, let's see, there's an email question and a bunch more callers. One of our emailers says, how many whales are killed on average per year?
The Japanese are targeting 935 minke whales and 50 fin whales. That's what their quota was last year, but they only got half of that because of our interventions. The Norwegians are taking about 1,000 whales a year, or trying to. They never seem to fulfill their quota because there's not enough whales up there for them to do so. The Icelanders take not that many, but they keep trying to take as many as possible. And in the Danish Faroe Islands, they kill about anywhere from between 1,500 and 3,500 pilot whales every year. And just last week, the Canadians massacred 500 narwhals that were trapped in the ice. They could have broken them out with icebreakers, but the Canadian government said, and this is absolutely unbelievable, they said, we didn't use the icebreakers because it would have caused stress to the animals. And so instead they decided to shoot them with high-powered rifles, which certainly I can't see how that's any less stressful.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're sort of nearing the end of our time here, and we got plenty more folks who are hoping to speak with you. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Captain Paul Whitson. A quick question, if you wouldn't mind keeping it very brief.
Well, I want to applaud him first for his work, and I haven't watched Whale Wars, but is there any way he can do anything about the polar bears starving to death? That's my question.
Well,
okay, thanks for the question. Can you address that, Captain Watson, the polar bear issue?
The polar bear issue is a sad one because that's really being caused by global warming, which is a global problem that we certainly, and nobody else really, has any power to reverse. We have been fighting the polar bear hunt where it's about 500 of these animals are being killed every year just so some guy can stick their head up on the wall and, I don't know, prove he's a man or something.
Mm.
So that's been a frustrating thing. It doesn't help when groups like Greenpeace actually support the polar bear hunt because they say it provides jobs to native people. Yeah, well, so doesn't, the cocaine industry provides a lot of jobs to people too, but it's not a reason to support it. But the fact is that, we have a global crisis on not just polar bears, but, practically all of the large predators, and we're going to lose a great deal of animals over the next few years because of pollution, because of global warming, because of over-exploitation, because of human overpopulation. That's, as Richard Leakey described it, we're in the sixth major extinction event in world history. It's called the Holocene, and we're going to lose more species of plants and animals than have been lost in the last 65 million years, and it's because of our greed and our over-exploitation of the planet.
Wow. Well, we are, I think, very close to the end of our time here, Captain Watson. I guess I want to ask one last sort of question, just because a few people have sort of brought this up to me in talking about whale wars. You don't have to be that cynical to note that some of these reality series often feature stories and situations that have been sort of manipulated behind the scenes to heighten the drama or alter the outcome or make the show more gripping. So I guess I'm wondering how much of this might apply to whale wars. I mean, how much of it is scripted or... some things that might be altered or changed for the nature of a specific episode.
There's no scripting involved, and the Animal Planet isn't involved in our tactics or strategies.
Mm-hmm.
They run the cameras and they observe what we do.
Yeah.
And then they edit the piece. I think they took about 700 hours to make those 7 hours of a TV series. So they really have no input on how we go about doing it or what we're doing. They're just there to observe it. So in that respect, it's certainly not a scripted show.
Right. Well, let me ask you very quickly, even though I'm sort of risking going over my time here, but the episode that comes to mind is where the two crew had jumped aboard the Japanese ship and there was an international incident and high-level negotiations, and then a rendezvous was kind of established. And you had been up for 36 hours straight, I think it was, dealing with the situation and related media calls, and then you were in your cabin, sacking out a bit, and then there was this decision in your absence to launch a Zodiac and harass another Japanese whaling ship at night, potentially jeopardizing the rendezvous for the crew members. I know at least some viewers, just especially that are familiar with you and your history and your work, just found that a little improbable. Is that, did it really go down that way?
Yeah, I don't know what's improbable about that. The decision was made by the first officer, Peter Brown, to go after that boat and harass it. We felt there was certainly adequate time to do it. I think that, Whale Wars probably exaggerated the urgency of, us having to get to this rendezvous point.
I mean,
after all, where are they going to go?
Right.
But I think that, I don't think there's any doubt that the program, just like any other program, accentuates the drama.
Sure.
And makes things feel a lot more dramatic than probably they really were. But everything that's taking place actually took place.
Right. Okay, well, great. That's a perfect note, I think, on which to end our conversation. Again, I want to remind our listeners that seashepherd.org is the website. There's all kinds of information about what we're talking about and many things we just didn't have time to talk about. And Whale Wars, new episodes premiere every Friday night at 9 p.m. on Animal Planet. So, Captain Paul Watson, thank you again for joining us on Talking Animals and getting up in the wee hours to do so.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals. where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email, newsletter, etc., talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball jersey, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. Meanwhile, I just want to let you know that we've reached the end of, it's about the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. So we will be back next Wednesday. We're on the first two Wednesdays of each month, and can't tell you at the moment who the guests will be, but we've got some great guests I can tell you about lined up for January, including Tom Ryder, sort of a ringling whistleblower, used to look after the elephants and became involved with as a central figure, really, in a federal lawsuit multiple groups have against ringling. And let's take one of these real quick. Hi, do you know the answer? Can you name that animal tune?
Fly Rabbit.
That's right. That's right. What was your first name?
Dusty.
Dusty?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Stay put, Dusty. We'll get your info. You are the winner. Okay, so we also are going to have Dr. Ann Lamprou, a Tampa-based holistic veterinarian, on January 14th. So thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is the Whale Wars theme. And it's WMNF Tampa.